Stuff that we adults need to grab onto so that we can effectively and exemplify it, communicate it in word and in action to children. You told us that you have given us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and that we would overcome all the power of the enemy. Sometimes we don't feel that way. But you go on to say something that helps us to know the kind of attitude we got to have to be able to do that. As you say, that we shouldn't rejoice that evil spirits submit to us, but rejoice that our names are written, recorded, enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life. It means a lot more than just those words that I just proclaimed. There's so much substance to it. But we need to simplify it today, Lord God. And so help us to do that. Cut through all the bologna sausage and help us to see and grab hold of what we need to see and grab hold of. And we pray, Lord God, that it doesn't just help us to have a good day today, but that it helps us to adjust perspective so that we can bring your goodness into other people's lives because we're experiencing it. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, stand up again. And if any young kids and old kids want to come up here, you can. Sam's going to put the words on the screen. All right, you guys got to help me because I get real tired when I do this, and then I might get a myocardial infarction. That's something that you might have to look up on Google. All right, we ready? A 1, 2, a 96, and a 97. Father Abraham had many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. Whoop-de-doo. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Whoop-de-doo. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm. Right leg, Father Abraham had many sons, many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. Whoop-de-doo! So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left leg, Father Abraham had many sons, many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, I am one of them. And so are you. Whoop-de-doo. So let's praise the Lord. Right arm, left leg, Father Abraham. What's next? Many sons said, Father Abraham. Oxygen mask. I am one of them. And so are you. Whoop-de-doo. So let's praise the Lord. Right leg, left leg, spin around. Father Abraham has many sons. What is that? And many sons had Father Abraham. Whoop-de-doo. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right leg, left leg, spin around. Nod your head, nod your head. There's some grumpy people in here. I think we should keep going. Father Abraham had many sons. And many sons said, Father Abraham, I am one of them. And so are you. Whoop-de-doo. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, left leg, spin around. Nod your head one more. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons said, Father Abraham, I am one of them. And so are you. Whoop-de-doo. So let's all praise the Lord. Right leg, left leg, spin around. Nod your head, sit down. Good job. Thank you, sir. All right. All right. I want to show a clip. We were going to show it on Mother's Day, but we didn't have the opportunity to. But I thought it fit well with what we're going to be talking about today. And it's really learning how to love better. I think that that's kind of the core message that comes from this clip. And I just wanted to take a minute. I'm going to try to keep it to a minute. But hey, kids, I'm talking to you right now. And I don't think that the adults in here would mind if I say this. You know, sometimes we have a hard time showing our love to you. We want you to know that we love you very, very much, but sometimes we don't show it very well. Sometimes we're stressed out. Sometimes we're fearful. Sometimes we're not thinking the way God wants us to think. Sometimes we might see something in you that reminds us of something that happened in our lives years and years ago, and that was a hard time for us in our life. And so sometimes we forget to listen to God and what God says about us, and we listen to what our feelings are telling us. And sometimes we end up saying some things that we regret that we've said. Sometimes we end up doing some things that we regret that we've done. And I had to learn a long time ago that sometimes the best way to stay connected with my kids was to be able to admit what I've done wrong and to apologize. And I know that there's a lot of parents in here that have done that, and maybe the Holy Spirit's talking to them right now, and maybe that might be something that the Spirit's impressing upon their hearts right now. But anyway, I just want you to know that we love you very much. We want what is best for you, and I know you want what is best for us. And that's really what we're talking about today, is how we can be in a pattern that's healthy so that we can receive God's best, so we can share with other people God's best. Okay, so we're going to look at this video, and then we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about serpents and scorpions and specks. Okay?
Warning. Use of this product may alter your perception of reality. Everything looks the same.
Guys, can somebody hit me with some juice? And listen, pulp, no pulp, doesn't make a difference to me. You're the ones dealing with the diaper.
Mom goggles.
Have fun glamping.
What is that?
Have no idea. We got this.
Yep. I mean, think about this. The kids are older. Now they practically take care of themselves.
Nobody understands me.
We're doomed.
What did we do the last time they left us alone with the kids?
Mom goggles!
Those things were so great. I mean, they helped us see things like moms see things. Whatever happened to them?
I definitely put them in a place I knew I would never forget.
Great. Where are they?
I forgot.
Computer phone. Order 2 pair of mom goggles.
Ordering 2 pairs of mom joggers.
Nope. No. Goggles. Mom goggles.
eat my baby!
You're so weird.
No, no, no.
Hi, guys.
Just leave me alone! I hate you!
You come back here and say that to my face, young lady!
I'm so confused on how I'm feeling! I don't even know why I'm angry, but it feels good to yell!
What you're feeling is natural! You truly are a gift from God, and I hope you know I'm always here for you!
You're the best dad in the world! I'm sorry I don't tell you that more often!
I am gonna cry like a man-child at your wedding!
Stop looking at me!
Laundry. Look at this mess! It is literally a pigsty in here, mister! How are you gonna organize your life if you can't organize your sock drawer? First, it's unmatched socks. Then, unfinished homework. Then, kicked out of school. Next,
jail.
How does she process this every day?
All right, one more time. Plastic bowls up top, face down, forks up, knives down, plates in the center, pots and pans we wash by hand. Now repeat it back to me.
No, I don't think the joggers make you look fat.
I've got my dad's thighs.
Don't you need the goggles?
No. I've seen your mom do this so many times. You have a great mom, you know that.
That's great. Mm. Can you hand me the barf bucket?
No, okay, here we go.
I got your cat out of the dryer. You're welcome.
I don't own a cat.
How do they do it?
Cats?
Moms. How do they do all of this without the goggles?
They don't need them. Moms have this God-given ability.
Yeah, it's like no matter what the circumstance, they always see the best version of what their kids can be.
Moms are a little glimpse of heaven.
It wasn't me!
I think that more than moms, that God, of course, always sees the best version that we can be. And He provides what's necessary so that we can deal with the deceptive stuff that clouds our thinking and our ability to see. The stuff that keeps us from thinking and looking at life through the lens of Him seeing us in the best version that we can possibly be. But then to also understand that it's not on us to make it happen, that it all happens through this relationship with Him. It happens through being willing to admit that we are broken and that we're needy. Life is an incredibly frustrating thing to endure if we are not willing to accept, number one, that we are broken, and number two, that evil exists. And oftentimes, Satan, who was symbolized by a serpent in Genesis chapter 3. Sometimes what he tries to convince us of is that we aren't broken and that evil doesn't exist. At the same time, trying to convince us that we are horrible and that we are disgusting and that we are beyond repair. One of the things that we don't understand is the verse that I'm going to talk about in just a couple minutes. It says to rejoice that our names are recorded in heaven, enrolled in heaven. That word name, it refers to the version of us that I just talked about a second ago, that God sees us in our fulfilled potential, apart from the evil and the brokenness of this world. That's what's recorded in heaven. Not the broken person we are now that's deceived sometimes to think that we're helpless and that we're hopeless and that we'll never measure up and that we'll never belong. That's not the version of us that's recorded in heaven. So this morning we're going to talk about, just for a few minutes, serpents. What did I just say? Serpents. Then we're going to talk about scorpions. What am I? Yes. And then we're going to talk about specks. So, three things that I want to pull from this. Number one, we got to have the right cure. We got to have the right what? Cure. Oh, wait, I need to hear some voices that are younger than 18 say this. We need to have the right what? Cure. Okay, then understanding what the right cure is, we got to have the right protection. Sam, we got to have the right what? And then when we understand the right cure and the right protection, then we got to know what to do with it. So we got to have the right attitude. Lauren, we got to have the right what? Attitude. So those are the few things that we're going to talk about for a second. Number one, we're going to talk about serpents. So Sam, if that picture's in there, can you throw it up there? How many people have heard a lot about these things this year? Ron, how many of these have you killed so far this year? And when you kill them, you go with your bare hands, right? And you go down to grab them. And then you just... No, I... Ron does not contend with those things with their bare hands. With his bare hands. I've had to contend with a few of those myself over the years. Years ago, I was an exterminator. One time I went to a house and there was a rattlesnake. I killed the rattlesnake. And then I got a complaint call afterwards. The lady said, "You know what? We've got ants." I said, "Ma'am, I just killed a rattlesnake at your property. We have ants." This is just a little bit more important. Just want you to understand that. So, last week, Lacey Kiefer got up and shared. And you kids remember Lacey's three-year-old daughter's name? Any of you kids? Shares the name with one of the Duprees' name, but spelled differently. Name Riley. Anybody remember what happened to Riley? Yeah, she got bit by a rattlesnake. Now, was she trying to do anything wrong? No, she wasn't. She was just affected by her surroundings. Sometimes there's rattlesnakes in your surroundings, and sometimes you're not trying to get bit, but she's just being a kid, not knowing any better, and she reaches down and sees something, and boom, she gets bit. You know? Sin exists in this world, and sometimes bad things happen to us just because sin exists in this world. It's the effects of sin. We're not trying to do anything bad. We're not trying to do anything wrong. Sometimes it just happens. Sometimes, though, we do experience pain because we've made some really bad decisions, because we're listening to our feelings instead of listening to the truth of God. So, interesting. Riley went where to take care of her snake bite? Where do you think she went? And she got there on her own. She got on a moped. She drove down there. How did she get there? Her parents, yeah. just reminds us that we have a responsibility to help other people, right? We got to get them where they can't get themselves sometimes. And we'll speak to that in a little while. But she went to the hospital to see a what? A doctor. And then after she saw the doctor, what did they do for Riley? They gave her medicine. Does anybody know what it's called? Antivenom. So if she wouldn't have gone to the doctor, what would have happened? She would have died. And even if she would have gone to the doctor, if she didn't have any antivenom, what would have happened? She would have died. So she went where she needed to go and she received what she needed to receive. Now, I'm going to read this because I don't want to miss anything out of it. But you kids, I want you to really listen to me. And you big kids, I want you to listen to me too. You might know this already, but it's a good, encouraging reminder. This antivenom, what a powerful analogy for a message on the blood of the Lamb and how His blood is the only antivenom against sin. The blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, only sacrifice for the sins of mankind, is the cleansing agent capable of washing away all sin. That's why we sing that song. Maybe some of you kids have heard it before. What will wash away my sin? Awesome. What will make me whole again? Awesome. Now listen to this. Sin is like a serpent that, when encountered and handled improperly, will result in a nasty bite, injecting its poison deep within your soul and producing spiritual death when not attended to. And that's what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. They didn't die physically, because we know they were still around for a while. They died spiritually. They didn't have the alive Spirit of God anymore. Now listen to this. This is really cool. For many years, scientists have sought an antidote for snake bites using the blood of horses to produce an antivenom, until it was discovered that lamb's blood built up a tolerance to poison much faster. Lamb's blood would immediately begin to produce an antibody, which is something that counteracts disease in your body, an antibody that would counteract the venom of a snake. So it is with sin. The blood of Jesus will counteract its effect on mankind by washing away its deadly poison, thus cleansing the blood. Number one, we have to remember, kids and big kids, because like I said earlier, our souls, the real us, is being instructed all the time, whether we like it or not. Our soul is how we think, how we feel, and then the choices that we make from that. And all the technology that we're looking at all the time, that's constantly pouring stuff into our brains, it is instructing our souls. And so if we are not being intentional about instructing our spirit with this truth all the time, that God provided the only antivenom for our sin, if we don't remember that, then eventually the Bible says that we will forget that which we've already been instructed by, because we'll have our souls, our feelings, our thoughts, and what we do instructed by the wrong way of thinking, that eventually we'll be thinking about all the pain and all the struggle and all the despair that comes from that wrong way of thinking, that we'll forget that we have the antivenom. And isn't that heartbreaking, to think that we have something, but we forget to use it? We don't want to forget to use it. You know, and this was talked about way back thousands of years ago, before Jesus ever went to the cross. God talked about what was going to happen. Genesis 3:15 says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. In other words, the woman is speaking about, well, we could go talk about all kinds of stuff. I'm just going to leave it at this. And then if your parents want to spend some time with you, that they can. But the truth is that we are the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ. And what that means is that we're part of God's family now. Abraham was one of our descendants, and now we are part of God's family. And because we look like God to Satan and his assistants, it makes him really, really mad, because his destiny has been sealed. He's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. He knows that that's going to happen. And so his time on earth, it's limited and it's short. And because you and I have all been created in the image of God, when he sees Ben, he gets really, really mad because Ben reminds him of his destiny that's sealed. And so when we're always, throughout our whole lives on this earth, we are going to experience hostility from evil forces. Okay? And then it goes on to say there's going to be enmity between you and the woman. So he's talking to Satan, and then he's talking about, in a sense, us. And between your offspring and hers, and get this, he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Now, it's actually the same word in the Old Testament language that gets translated, but it's like this. See, Satan struck Jesus' heel, didn't he? And what happened to Jesus? It's okay, you can say, you know what happened to Jesus? What happened to him? No, something happened to him. I mean, we celebrated, you know, we celebrated a lot. He was crucified. He died. Jesus died. But we talked about it just a minute ago, right? He possessed the anti-venom, right? He possessed that already. So Satan struck his heel. Ah, ha, ha, I win! I win! Satan's thinking he won. But then Jesus did what? Easter, remind me, Easter. He rose from the dead, so I have overcome the penalty of sin. I have overcome death. Sorry for that loud screech. And then it says that he will crush his head. And that's what happened. So it's like he raises from the dead and he goes, huh. You're dead. His destiny is absolutely sealed. Sometimes we forget that because we still live in time. We don't live in eternity yet. So it's still playing out. But God wrote it down. It's already written down. It's saying this is what's going to happen, and everything is happening according to the way God said it. And he's saying, and so this is what I'm going to give you so you can get through the temporary. Remember the eternal. You'll get through the temporary. Remember what you got. So, okay, that's the snakes, the serpent. All right, put that picture of scorpion up there. Ugh. Now, we get them here, and they're about this big. You know, all the ones I see around here are this big. Those are the ones that I would kill in the desert. They'd be about this big. And they would make a popping noise when you stomped on them. It would pop. The juice would come out. It was awesome. It was absolutely cool. So the unfortunate truth is that sometimes we still get stung, though. Like, one day I'm in bed, and I got my hand under my pillow, and I'm asleep, and all of a sudden, like, I feel something. And I pull my pillow, and there's a scorpion right there. That thing, it done stung me. You know, and in a sense, just like Jesus, I got struck. But guess what I did right after that? I crushed the juice out of that thing. And I remembered right then in Luke chapter 10, you have been given authority over serpents and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Sometimes we're still going to get stung. Because like we talked about, Satan's time is short and he wants to take people down with him. He's miserable. He wants to make people miserable. And because you are beautiful, you've been created in the image of God, he sees you and it makes him really, really mad. And so sometimes you're going to get stung. But see, sometimes before we get stung, if we remember to use the right protection, the right what? Protection. It's going to keep us from getting stung. See, not too long ago, I'm sitting on the couch and I'm actually praying and I'm enjoying God's word and I'm having just a conversation with God. And I get up to go grab a cup of coffee and I look behind me and there's a scorpion on the wall. And so I was caught unawares when I was in bed. You know, I was in sleeping, slumbering, not really paying attention, and boom, I got stung. But see, this time I was completely alert. And so I just very calmly walked into the kitchen, grabbed two sections of paper towel folded up together and folded them up a couple more times, went like that. Guess what? Didn't get stung. Scorpion's dead. Right? Protection. Let me read that scripture to you again. It starts out in verse 18. Listen to this, because this is talking about his destiny being sealed. Satan's destiny is what?
Sealed.
That's right. That means it's a guarantee that he's going to get thrown into the lake of fire. The only power that he has is subject to God, and God has given us authority over that. And we parents sometimes forget that. And then when we forget it, then we forget to lovingly share it with our children. And so that's why we're here learning together right now. So listen to this. Jesus is talking about something that was guaranteed to happen, that happened way in the past, but affects the future. The disciples were all excited because they went out and he had given them authority, and they are actually helping people to not have to experience the fear and being scared from the hostility of evil forces. And they come back excited, and he says, well, I want to tell you something. It's not that big of a deal. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You ever seen lightning strike the ground? Maybe not at home. That would be really freaky. Although I was pretty close to that one time. I was playing, Caleb, what's that game that we play that's got the little trampoline, you throw the ball off of it? Spike ball, yeah. So I was playing spike ball up at Hume Lake. I heard this. Mary Beth, that was the loudest crack of thunder I've ever heard in my life. And then all of a sudden, we saw the lightning come down, like right near where we were playing. Like, okay, we're done playing right now. But it was like, boom! And it says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He was cast out. It happened like that. And there's no possible way he can get back in God's good graces, because he had completely rejected God. He wanted to be God. And this is what he goes on to say. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. What does it say? That means that your destiny is sealed. You are going to be with God forever. You might experience some physical pain, but you want to know something? Because you know that he is cupping you and protecting you, and he is going to take you through all of your circumstances and deliver you unto himself. When you have that kind of confidence, you can deal with all the temporary pain that you're going through. And then, if you have that kind of confidence, you can keep the right kind of attitude to help other people that are going through temporary pain. So, but listen to this. This is important. Don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What we need to focus on is the family connection. We need to focus on the family connection, right? What do we need to focus on? The family connection. That's the way he's designed things to be. If we focus on the family connection, what we have in the family, by being a part of the family, then when we encounter these hostile situations, we're not caught unawares and shocked like I was when I was slumbering in bed that time. Instead of us trying to go, oh, in Jesus' name, which is fine to be enthusiastic, it's fine to be passionate, but sometimes we conjure it up out of fear instead of just being settled in the awareness that we belong to Abba Father. And because we belong to him, sometimes when these hostile forces come, it's almost kind of like, well, there's an old story about a guy by the name of Martin Luther. Who did I just say?
Martin Luther.
And not Martin Luther King. I'm talking about the guy from like 500 years before him. Now, he was a guy that he struggled a lot, but he also knew that Satan was evil and that evil forces existed. And there's a story about him waking up one night in bed, and there was an apparition of evil that was on the end of his bed. There was a demonic spirit. And he just looked at it and said, oh, it's just you. And he turned over and went to bed. And see, sometimes I don't have that attitude. Sometimes you don't have that attitude. We get shaken because the stuff around us is feeding our soul instead of us being intentional about feeding our spirit. And so it does kind of shake us a little bit. But actually, we can be like that. We could, and that's the kind of attitude we need to have. Instead of, you know, trying to use power to overcome, we use truth to overcome. And the truth is, man, I belong to Daddy. I belong to Abba. You know, and He's got me. And He's going to carry me unto Himself. And so the stuff comes and it's almost like, oh, it's just you. Oh, well, and so let me share the truth with you. If you'll receive it, let me share the truth with you. Because some people won't receive it. And that's hard for us. For those of us that have a heart for other people, sometimes that's hard. Because he goes on to say, well, actually, I'll share this a little bit later, but I'll share something about that in a little bit. But we need to have the right protection. The right what? And I'm going to make it real simple. Ephesians 6:17 says we need to wear the helmet of salvation. What do we need to wear?
The helmet of salvation.
That means protection for the soul, your thoughts, your feelings, and then the choices you make from those in the hope of salvation. We have to constantly keep the hope of salvation before us. And that's our protection. We're almost done. Listen to this. Where are you, Lawson? Stand up. Go ahead. This is one time I'll let you stand on the chair. Go ahead. Stand on the chair. Point at your shirt. There we go. Now, pretend that that is the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. And when Roman soldiers were wearing a helmet, because that's what Paul would have been looking at, a helmet was vital for survival, protecting the brain, the command station. The brain is what? The command station for the rest of the body. If the head was badly damaged, the rest of the armor would be of little use. It says in the Bible that Jesus is the head of the body. Who's the head of the body?
Jesus.
So he's the brain. Apart from Jesus, I don't have a brain. If I only had a brain. No, see? If I'm connected to Jesus, I have a brain. And I can receive the thoughts that give me the ability to function and work. But if I'm disconnected from the brain, like it says in another one of Paul's writings, then it's like, oh, my head is saying, I'm thinking, you know, what I want to do is I want to move my arm. And my head's going, move your leg. And you go, move arm. Move arm. It's just, it's not functioning. It's not working right. Oh, got to stay connected to the head. This is the last thing, okay? We need to have the right attitude. What do we need to have? So I'm going to go through this one kind of quick because you've heard it before, but I'm going to touch on some important things. So we need to have the right attitude, especially if we are going to prescribe the cure and administer protection to others. And if we're going to help them understand what they need, we need to have the right attitude. I mean, think about this. If I walk up to somebody, and I'm not going to, I'll do it to somebody that I know won't think that I'm serious. So let's just say you have a broken leg. How'd you break your leg? What, are you stupid?
Yeah, I know.
But for me going to him and saying, how did you break your leg? What, are you stupid? Is that the right way for me to approach him? No. I mean, what could have happened is I might have come up to him and said, oh, that dude broke his leg. He probably did a stupid thing like I did when I was 17. You know, and then all of a sudden that conditions what you're going to say, but it's not true. It came from your hurt and your embarrassment that the physician of our soul hasn't helped us with to think right, okay? So let me share this with you. You know this passage probably. It says, do not judge others. Don't pick them apart. What did I just say? Sometimes we're like that, right? I mean, the first impression we get with somebody is we start picking them apart. Oh, man, look at that girl's dress. Oh, my gosh, why is that guy wearing his hair in a bun? Oh, you know, whatever it is that immediately makes us think that there's something wrong with them, that's what we've got to deal with. It says, don't judge others and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. So the word for judge is don't pick apart. What is it? Okay, the word for measure, for standard is metros, kind of like the word meter, and it means measuring stick. And so listen to this very carefully, big kids and little kids. We won't experience the way that God measures us if we don't measure people the way He does. What did we say in the beginning? Well, moms try to look for the best version of us, right? God is always looking for the best version of us. And if we are not approaching people looking for the best version of them, then that is going to, that pride and that pain is going to blind us from being able to see the way God measures us, that He sees the best version of us. Okay? All right, last part of this passage here. And don't worry about a speck. How big's a speck? Throw that eyeball up there, Sam, would you? Just a second. Ooh, that's pretty, isn't it? Right there. So it says right here, don't worry about a speck in your friend's eye. That means a splinter or chip or just a little chafe that comes off a piece of wood. When you have a log in your own, how can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck when you can't see past the log? That actually means a beam or a timber, like a big old thing, okay? It says hypocrite, and that means pretender. What does hypocrite mean? Pretender is somebody that they're trying to pretend like they're not hurting. They don't need help. They don't have anything in their lives they need to tend to. So they're pretending that they're okay. But then because they're pretending that they're okay, they come across somebody and they see something in them that's actually in them, and it embarrasses them and it makes them hurt. And so instead of trying to deal with it in them, they deal with it in the other person. Sometimes we adults do that. We're sorry, kids. Sometimes we do. And this is what this passage is talking about. It's not right for me to walk up to Chris over here, and I'm like, got this thing going, you know, this beam is just smacking me in the head. And I'm coming over here, and I go, well, you idiot, you got this speck in your eye. Let me help you get that out. Well, I'm trying. You know? That's not the way to do it. That's not the way to take care of it. What's this passage talking about? Let me tell you. It's about how we can become helpful. How we can become what? How to become loving. How to become effective eye doctors who help other people see and live and enjoy God's will for their lives. John Piper said that. He also said this. That's what the Bible's for. Helping the man of God get humble before God, get the log out before God, and then minister to his people correction so that they can see and enjoy God to the full and live in his will. So, it's only if we're willing to deal with the log that we can lovingly come alongside somebody else and saying, oh, I bet that hurts. I bet that really hurts. Let me share with you what's happened in my life. And let me help you with that. That is the attitude and the heart that somebody will receive. And if we're not willing to deal with the log, if we don't trust God enough to say, I got this log, then we're never going to see other people the way God intends us to see them. And because we still have the log, we will never see ourselves the way that God intended us to be. And I want to touch on this before I close. Sometimes you do have the right attitude. Sometimes you do have the right heart. But sometimes people aren't willing to deal with their pain because they're afraid and they're scared. And sometimes they treat you really, really bad when they're afraid and they're scared. There's some people in here that they breed dogs. And so they understand that sometimes when a dog is scared and it feels like it's cornered, it's gonna lash out at you, and sometimes it's gonna bite. Sometimes people are like that too. And so Jesus said to them and to us, he said, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Some of those translations say, don't waste what is holy on the dogs. And it doesn't mean that Jesus was saying that they were less than human beings. He was talking about dogs that were in Jerusalem at that time, that they were rabid dogs that would hang out like at the garbage dump. Like when we go to Mexico, sometimes we go up to the dump and there's dogs that are scavenging around. And maybe some of those dogs have been beaten. Maybe sometimes some people have been really mean to those dogs. And so you go near them and they get get their hackles up and their teeth are out there and they're growling. And it's not necessarily because they're evil. They're affected by evil, but they're scared and they're afraid. And Jesus said, don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample on the pearls and turn and attack you. What he meant by that is, you know, if we got a pig in here and I got a strand of pearls that the pig's on, oh, those are beautiful. I just washed myself from being in the mire. Let me put those on. Oh, that would be gorgeous. Yeah, it's a pig. It hasn't been created in the image of God. You know, what I'm saying about this is that would somebody is full of fear and full of pain and full of anger, they don't realize that they're created in God's image. And if they don't realize that they're created in God's image and they're not thinking from that perspective, they're not going to know what to do with what is beautiful. And so sometimes you're legitimately trying to share something that's beautiful. Like maybe you guys would walk up to one of your friends at school and you say, you know, I really want to share with you the love of Jesus Christ. And maybe they had a bad experience with a church one time. And so they go, oh, I don't want to hear anything about that. There was this bad person who did this and did that. And it's not who you are and it's not who Jesus is, but they don't understand that yet. And so in those cases, those are extreme cases, then just realize it doesn't do you any good to give them something that they're not ready to receive yet. But again, what we close on is this. We got to live our lives helping one another remember that we have the anti-venom. And then even when we have the anti-venom, because we live in time right now and don't live in eternity yet, we need to remember that God's provided us with the right protection, and we need to help one another remember to put the right protection on. And then when we have that, then we need to help one another, keep one another in the Father's love so that we can have the right attitude, so that we then can be confident and share the protection and share the truth of the cure with other people. Listen to this. This came from Mark Lowry. Some of your parents know who this is. You kids don't know who this is. This is what he said. He said, hate sin and love the sinner? I never quite understood that. Hating my sin is a full-time job. I don't have time to hate your sin. How about I hate my sin and you hate your sin and we just love each other? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful family. Thank you that they were willing, these youngins were willing to endure sitting in here for quite a while. And I trust, Lord God, that what our natural brains couldn't take in, that our spirit will take in. And it will help us to remember that we have the cure in Christ alone, that we have the protection in Christ alone, and that we have the right attitude in Christ alone. We praise you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everybody have